everybody. This is Tim Leonard, and today I'll be talking with Lincoln about is this a new book?
This book recently came out. This is the latest series from this author. Its name is The Hidden Oracle. I just read that.
What does Oracle even mean? Is that like a...
I guess an Oracle would be, a prophecy.
Oh, that's right.
So that would be a synonym.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
So an Oracle, so that's what the whole thing is about. But the thing about this Oracle is that, it's very hidden, a far ways away. So as we go throughout the interview, I'll tell you more about it as we go. But
Let's see. So you said it was a trilogy. So like, is that this author? What was his name?
Rick Riordan. And yeah, it is a trilogy. So in order to this hidden Oracle, you gotta find. Of course, this Oracle, but it's gonna take it took three entire books to find this Oracle.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I know. So I guess there's three steps, and step one is to find the Oracle.
Dang. Wow. So like the overall, goal, I guess, is to go to the Oracle, and then in the second book, or is this the third book?
This is the first book. So step one, find the Oracle. Step two, try to do whatever you can to fix that Oracle, and then to make it like come true, I guess, because it's a prophecy. Step three, I guess, fight the bad guys, I guess.
That's interesting. If it's an Oracle and, I thought Oracles don't exist. What kind of genre is this?
This is, mythology. I've always been into mythology ever since I was a little kid. My favorite books were kind of like the Percy Jackson books, the Heroes of Olympus books. And the funny thing about all this stuff is that it's from the same author. So this author only does the same genre, which is mythological and mythology books.
Oh wow! So you meet Percy Jackson.
Percy Jackson, Jason, you know, all kind of like, as we know, Zeus, Poseidon, Hades, kind of all these mythological gods, Greek, Roman, you know, you name it, they're all in there, definitely.
Man, if it's a three-part trilogy, I really hope it's not like that long of a book, right?
Yeah. Well, you see. 382 pages.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I know. It's pretty long. Rick Riordan never fails to make a long book, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's funny. How did you find out about this book?
I just barely got done reading the Magnus Chase books. So that isn't mythology, but that's rather European.
Like
European
folklore,
yeah, stuff like that. And I get to the end of the book, and you know, like in the back of the book, there's like recommendations.
Yeah.
So I see The Trials of Apollo, that's the whole trilogy name. And I see the book number one is The Hidden Oracle. So I was like, that's pretty interesting. I read some reviews of it on online.
Like on Google?
Yeah, stuff like that. I wanted to search it up to see if it was even, you know, worth taking a look at.
Yeah.
It looked pretty interesting to me, so I checked it out. I bought it at a local Target.
Sponsored.
Yeah, sponsored Target. And then that's where I really started finding it and started getting interested in it.
Wow, that's pretty cool. So if it's mythological and it's talking about like Apollo.
Yeah.
So that means, is it like not historical, but like storytelling, like a third person point of view?
No, it's actually a first person point of view. It kind of starts off kind of unusual, you know, because the way it starts off is the information that the readers know is the information that the characters know.
Oh, okay.
So it kind of starts off kind of slow there. So the way it starts off, I'm not going to spoil it for future readers, but Apollo turns into human form, and apparently Apollo has done something very wrong on Mount Olympus, and Apollo's punishment is to be sent down back onto Earth as human form. So everything that he knew, his powers, you know, Apollo's the son of the god of poetry, the god of the sun as well. He's also the son of Zeus. So his punishment was all his powers were stripped from him, and he became human, you know, just like you and me.
Man, I'm really curious about what he did now.
I know, man. You'd have to read it, check it out.
Yeah. If that's like the So I'm guessing that's like the plot, like that's like the whole.
Yeah, so the whole plot is Apollo trying to figure out what exactly happened, because in the first book, Hidden Oracle, you have no idea what Apollo even did to deserve this in the first place. So Zeus completely wiped his memory when he came down. Yeah.
What? How are you supposed to like fix it then?
Yeah, no, that's what he's so frustrated what? About is how am I supposed to fix it when I don't even know what happened?
That's so frustrating. I'd be frustrated
yeah,
too.
Yeah, Apollo was going off. So
did he even remember like if he was a god?
Zeus allowed him to keep some information, like he was a god. He kept the information that he did something wrong, but he doesn't know specifically what. So it's kind of like you get in trouble, but you don't know what for, but all you know is you got in trouble.
That's lame.
Yeah, it's lame.
That's so lame.
So the whole journey is trying to figure out what he did and how to fix it.
So from the book, did you, from reading it, did you have like any favorite quotes?
Yeah, so there was this, so on his journey, Apollo meets this girl named Meg. She's a 4-foot girl. And the thing about Apollo is he complains about the same thing over and over, like, why can't it be more easier? Why can't I get my powers back? Why can't I blah, blah, blah? And Meg frowned at him and said, why are you grooting so bad? And at first we were like, bro, what does grooting even mean? And then she says, yeah, like that character in the movie, only saying one thing over and over. And grooting, I mean, of course we only know one character that... Groot.
I mean, yeah, it's the only one I can think of.
Yeah, Groot is the tree in Marvel's universe. So
I am Groot.
Yeah, I am Groot. That
That's
guy.
All he says.
So that was probably one of my favorite quotes. Probably a quote that really summarizes the plot. You say is, "Are you sure, Zeus? Is it not too late to tell me that this was an elaborate prank?" So that kind of shows like you're really in deep trouble now, and you know, stuff
like that. Just proves like, yeah, he's definitely in trouble. All right, we're back. How would you describe the narrator's tone?
The tone is really formal, also pretty funny as well. Well, the way it's formal is because the way that Apollo speaks, because he's coming from a place of really like high glory, you know, and high power, so he's very formal when he speaks. And so when he comes down compared to like how we speak, like, you know, just normal people, you know, it's kind of funny. He thinks it's really funny the way that other people speak here, because you're going from a very high place to, you know, common folk, you know.
So he's like, he doesn't like talk, he doesn't use like a lot of slang, does he?
No slang.
He uses like the autumn.
Very,
style.
Yeah, that kind of stuff.
That's funny.
And then, but also from that formal speaking, it's really funny to see. Because people look at him like, dude, this guy is a freaking nut job. Like, what the heck?
That's funny.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing like his vocab is like kind of like.
Yeah. Very formal, I guess, like, art thou, stuff like that. Art thou, like, who art thou, stuff like, and then,
what time period is this in?
Modern day.
Like,
yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So this is modern day timing.
So we'll be saying, hey, what's up? And he'll be like, hello.
Yeah, like, it has Percy Jackson in the book, and Percy Jackson says, what's good? And he says, hello, how art thou? And it's like, bro, like, so what is this guy talking about?
What are you doing?
Yeah, like, what are you
doing? That's interesting. So I'm guessing, how do you like the book?
It was really good. I finished it a couple weeks ago. I really liked how Rick Riordan was able to incorporate his other books into this one book. Like, he had characters from a different series, like Percy Jackson. So he was in this book.
Oh, yeah. This is the same author?
Yeah, same author.
Oh.
So this is Rick Riordan. He always does the mythology books, and his audience is always towards younger teens, I guess. So kind of like kids like our age. He's not so adults, kind of like Stephen King.
Uh-huh.
But he's definitely like aimed towards us. And that was really good.
Oh, wow. So I did not realize that. I thought he was using Percy Jackson as like a reference to those other books.
Yeah.
I didn't know this was the same guy. That's interesting. Would you recommend this book to anybody?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, especially if you're into mythology and that kind of stuff. If you really like a really good story behind really funny, like, cheesy, corny jokes, I guess. It has a lot of action in there, especially with fighting monsters and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's also pretty sad. There's some sad deaths in there. I'm not going to spoil it, but there's some sad deaths as well.
Do you have, like, a favorite scene, or...?
Yeah, favorite scene is probably like in the beginning of the book when Apollo falls in the alley. There's this girl, her name is Meg, and she looks like she's like this tall, maybe like 3-4 feet tall.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, super short. And there's this whole freaking like gang trying to jump Apollo, but he has no powers, so there's no like he's just gonna get destroyed. Right? And Meg, she's a demigod, so she's half god and then half human. Yeah. So she still has some power, because she ended up kicking all those big dudes' butt that was trying to jump Apollo.
It's funny trying to
picture a 4-foot girl trying to knock some dudes out. You know?
Yeah, all I can imagine is like one of those scenes in like movies where they're like, what is this little shrimp doing over here? Like,
yeah,
go home.
Yeah.
And then they just like, she like does like a smirk and then
it's like a David
dead.
Goliath type thing. You know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's cute. Let's see. If you could, like, say, like, one thing to this author, like, what would it be?
To the author?
Yeah.
I would tell him definitely great job on the book. I wish that, if anything, I wish that we had knowledge of what really went down. Because in the book, it's a 3-book series. So I wish there would have been more storytelling and more background knowledge in the first book. So we can understand, because it was kind of slow in the beginning. You know, we're just trying to... It was really slow, the information that we were talking about with Apollo and stuff that happened with Zeus back on Mount Olympus, so it was kind of really slow, I guess. It took a long time to really, like, know what's actually going on, so I wish it would have been more quicker.
Do you have anything that you didn't like about the book?
There was some really random things in the book.
Like random information?
Yeah, random information and random, like... mythological creatures like just came out of nowhere, like where did they even come from, what the heck is that?
Did you have to like look up something?
Yeah, there's some stuff I was like, what is that? And then you have to look up and see it, like, oh okay,
like,
because the descriptions, the author didn't really describe them very well.
He just like expected it.
Yeah, he expected us to know like where some like
a hydra or something.
Yeah. Like, even, I mean, the basic stuff, like a hydra and, like, Cerberus, stuff like that,
yeah.
You know, but that was just one thing where there was a tree, and then half tree and half bull, and I don't even know what it was called.
What?
And in my head, I was like, what am I reading? Yeah. Hey everybody, my name is Lincoln and I'll be interviewing Tim Leonard.
Hey guys.
About his outside reading book. So to start off, Tim, can you talk about the name of your book?
Well, the name of the book like really starts to set up the stage for like what happens in this story.
Okay.
So the name is called The Killers of the Flower Moon. And so right off the bat, killers kind of like signifies like, you know, someone's going to die.
Yeah, death.
Yeah, death.
That's kind of dark.
Yeah, it's pretty sad. I'll get into it a little bit later, but like it's pretty sad. The Killers of the Flower Moon, and at first I thought Flower Moon was like the like a pseudonym for like the Osage, which is who the book is about.
Yeah.
But I actually just found out that it just really is just like the blooming of flowers in May, which
the
is
blooming
like,
of flowers in May, like it's just like a spring blooming.
Somewhat.
Okay.
It's just more like specific flowers in an area of blooming.
Okay. So, you know, like, is it like in a certain state where these flowers bloom, or?
Yeah, Oklahoma.
Oklahoma. Okay.
Where Native Americans like are primarily.
Do you know like what tribe these?
Yeah, the Osage.
Osage. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's interesting. That title kind of shocks people. The Killers of the Flower Moon. I don't think you can like combine more random things in a title than that. But definitely really interesting. So
I mean, it sets up a pretty good stage for what happens in the book. So yeah. It's pretty good.
So it's kind of those books where you see the title and it's like, what the heck? And then you read it and it's like,
how that would connect.
That makes sense. Now, what kind of author would come up with this title? Talk about your author.
David Graham. He's just a Native American himself, and he wanted to dive deeper into like the history and like what happened to these people, and so he made this this book. It's pretty intense, like about like what happens to the Osage and like how the FBI gets involved and how like this is like the bringing up of the FBI. And all- the story begins like where basically in like the 1870s a tribe of Native Americans known as the Osage have like been shoved onto a barren reservation because no one wants to live there, and the United States government has never been very kind to Native Americans since we first settled here.
Right, I mean, that's like basically, like, of course we know stuff like that has happened. I mean, we've known in our history classes, like, the Native Americans, they haven't always been treated right by, you know, FBI and agencies like that.
Well, this is where it gets interesting. Later, they discovered, like, decades after, like, in the 1920s to 1930s, that the Osage were living on top of one of, like, the largest oil reservations, like, ever found. And so, the Osage, like, now become, like, insanely rich.
Yeah.
Like, completely, it's crazy. Like, at the time, they were the richest people per capita in the world.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it was insane. And so, you know, with all this wealth, because these people are driving in mansions, like, cars, and all these.
The Native Americans are driving in cars.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. In cars.
That's
like in the 1920s.
Yeah.
1930s. Crazy. It's crazy. Mansions and all these.
In your book, did you know about the author at all before you read it?
No, I was actually, I found out this book by it's actually a really funny story. Because I was looking for this book, and it was like a day before it was due, and I'm stressing hard about it, like downstairs in my kitchen, and I'm just like, I have no idea what to find for this book. And my mom comes down the stairs and she's like, what's wrong? And I'm like, I don't know what to like do for this book. And she's like, oh my gosh, I have this amazing book that I just finished, and it's called, you should definitely read it. It's like, she goes on this huge, like, I swear, like, you know how
rampage and how about this book love her to so death. Good. Yeah.
Love her to death.
Yeah, right.
She just kept on going, like, this Killers of the Flower Moon book, and like how it's like the introduction of the FBI and how they help this group of Native Americans with like the people that the Native Americans were living with, they were jealous.
Okay.
They were jealous of the wealth because, you know, what are these, you know, quote-unquote Redskins, like, doing with all this money? It's just not right.
Yeah.
According to, like, these racist people.
Okay.
So the book just goes on about how this group of people, murderers, start to kill off one by one in all the Osage people.
Right.
They just start to kill them off.
Okay.
And so, this series of murders and the FBI, this newly founded FBI, it's like very new. It's like, it's very new. And so the FBI gets involved, and so they help out. And so, it's like this huge plot of like building up to like who did it,
like what's gonna happen. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it a long book?
I mean, it's 316 pages.
Just not as long as mine.
A little shorter.
I mean, it's not Harry Potter, but it's still not freaking like a child's book.
Yeah. You know? It's I think it's pretty like okay for like.
Yeah.
Now,
is it written from first person, second person, or third person?
It's definitely by third person.
Okay.
Because it's like someone telling a story.
Right.
Because it happened, you know, in the past.
Right.
So it's like, it's almost like history, like you're reading a history book, but also, it's also like kind of personal.
Okay.
You're reading it like, because you're put in the lives of these people, and you are, like, reading, like, what happened to them.
Yeah.
Because it starts off with this girl named Anna, and, like, how her sister got murdered, and that's, oh, that's how it all got started.
That's a scary story.
It's how it all got started.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, were there, in this book, were there some quotes that, like, really stood out to you, or made you feel some type of way?
Sometimes I was really saddened, because, like, he kept on telling, like, how the white people at the time felt about Indian Americans, like this quote right here, page 43, quote, "Why don't you like Indians, Mom? I just don't like them. Why did we come here to their country if you don't like him?" I just, like, it's so sad because she has no reason to not like these people. It's just her little reason is just cuz.
Yeah.
It's just cuz. That's, like, it's pathetic and childish. Like, this poor child is asking her grown mom, like, why doesn't she like these poor people? And her answer, just cuz.
Yeah, just cuz.
It's so sad.
That's sad, seeing other people belittle other people.
It's so disappointing. As someone who is, like, because I have cousins who are part Native American and, like, Mexican and, like, all these minority groups. And it's just, like, hearing about it is just, like, really...
Because, like, you would never do something like
that. No, it's disgusting. I hate it. Another one that I found, just adding to that, the quote, "Summing up the public's attitudes toward the Osage, the Washington Star said that lament, the low poor Indian, might appropriately be revised to how the rich redskin." And so that just means that, like, these... they originally, you know, they hated them because they were, like, poor, and they were, quote, like, non-modernized or something.
Yeah.
So but now, like, these Native Americans have all this wealth.
Okay.
And then my last quote, this is, like, the part where they, page 86, they talk about, so a little bit of background to this quote. They were talking about, because they were going to court about why they were, happening, like, why all this stuff was happening.
Yeah.
I don't want to give it away. But, basically, on page 86, the Osage, quote, "The Osage also managed to slip an agreement, which seemed at the time like a curious provision." So this one was that the oil, gas, and coal, or other minerals by the lands, are hereby reserved to the Osage tribe. And so that was, like, a precursor to them finding out, like, all this oil was here.
Right.
And so if they didn't have this provision into this document that they were submitting to the United States government, they probably were going to get stripped of their land and then kicked away.
Yeah.
Same thing happened with the gold that was found on another Native American tribe.
Yeah.
It's just, they thought about it and they were smart about this.
Right.
Yeah. So these are my favorite quotes.
That's smart. I mean, without that provision right there, things definitely would have changed.
Yeah.
Especially in that whole point.
Yeah.
So now the narrator, you talked about how it was in third person. What's the narrator's tone like as you read and go through the book?
Well, the narrator's tone begins to be serious and solemn, and it's serious and solemn and, like, factual almost.
Okay.
And then as you read, you find out, like, while it is serious, there's also, like, a bit of sadness to it, and, like,
so you could say that, I guess, he's more on the factual side towards the beginning of the book, and as you keep going, kind of the moral, ethical side, as you keep going, makes you feel some type of way.
Yeah, and you just find out, like, how these people went, like, through this, and how, like, it was solved, and,
Yeah, it was. I mean, I thought it was sad.
Yeah. So did you feel like sadness throughout the whole entire book?
No. Sometimes I was just like really surprised.
Yeah.
And I mean, sadness was, it was different parts. Like the quotes I was reading, I was feeling sad like right there. And,
right.
Like sometimes I just had to like take a break almost.
Yeah. Cause I mean, like, throughout all these like different emotions between shock, mad, you know, disgust, you know, all this different stuff, you gotta take a break sometimes.
Seriously.
Now, is the vocabulary very easy to pick up since it's a nonfiction book, or is it pretty difficult?
I thought the vocab wasn't hard, but also wasn't easy.
Mm-hmm.
It's more or less you just had to, like, the author, Dave Brand, gives a really good way of, like, inferring, like, what each word could mean.
Right.
So, I mean, I had to do that like a couple times, but it wasn't very often, so.
That's good. Now, did you actually enjoy, I mean, throughout the whole emotions, I mean, did you ever feel happiness reading this book?
Yeah, I mean, I felt happiness at the end because, like, you find out, you find something out.
Well, but, at least we know there's a happy ending now.
Yeah, I mean, happy, sad, happy ending.
Okay. So, best of both worlds.
I mean, I did like the book.
That's good.
Because I love Native Americans. Their culture is just so in depth. They were here before us, and the way that we've treated them ever since we first got here is horrible.
Yeah.
And I've always just found it interesting, like, how they lived, even though it just came in and just taken.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the Native Americans, the thing with their culture is, you know, they take the things we take for granted is what they're very grateful for. They're very simple people.
Yeah.
But they're also very humble, which I think is very, really in depth. And I think that's something that we always forget. It's the simple things that matter.
Yeah.
And that's something that we, as, you know, modern day people really look over.
My favorite part about the entire book easily was how they would go from one story of a person, tell that story, and then they would implement it as the book went on.
Right, so their culture would keep going on as they... That's awesome.
Because they were all, like, one people.
Right.
So, like, if one person's affected, everyone's affected.
Right.
And I think that's awesome.
Yeah, that sense of family is really there.
Yeah.
So, to this author, if there was one thing that you could say to him, what would it be?
I mean, I'm a simple. I'll be like, hey man, I think you did a great book, great job on your book, and I hope you're doing well in your life.
Right.
Like, just simple, sweet.
That's awesome.
You know.
I mean, definitely. That sounds like a great book just from you telling me about it. I'm definitely gonna have to. I mean, obviously you recommended it, so I'm gonna have to check it out. You know, that's awesome.
I mean, unless you're in, if you're not into like the. There's a lot of death and like mature topics.
Right.
So, I mean, if you're not into that, then I don't know.
You gotta be a specific person and with a specific personality
in order to
enjoy this book.
Yeah. I mean, probably not like that specific, but it's up there.
Okay. You know? That's awesome. Well, awesome. I appreciate you coming out doing this interview.
Yeah, man. Thanks a lot.